Alright, we're getting on the top of Nintendo with Aleph by the Mishnah. Yesh, Tunot, Shemen, Ulivona. There's some in Achot that require both oil and frankincense. Shemen, Velo Livona. There's some that require oil but no frankincense. Livona, Velo Shemen. Some that require frankincense and no oil. And some, Lo Livona, Velo Shemen. That don't require Livona or Shemen. They don't have any frankincense. They don't have any oil on them. Ve'elu Tunot, Shemen, Ulivona. These are the korbanei mincha that do require both oil and levona. Minchat hasolet, which is the first of them. The reason that minchat solet is picked first, the reason that Rashi brings is that mitnadei minchat stam may be saron solet v'shemen levona bolula v'komza. Meaning that the stam mincha that you bring is a minchat solet, although that is somewhat problematic because that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda later on in the Masechta. And the Rabbanan disagree with this, and it seems that Rashi is paskening like Rabbi Yehuda in this instance. As well as Rashi notes over here, because it becomes the paradigmatic Korban Mincha, because from it we're going to learn Nefesh Kita Korban Mincha, or the Nefesh we're going to see in today's daf, that we learn to the other Korbanot Mincha, as to what are the properties of a Mincha. That's why it's mentioned first, as well as the fact that in the Torah, when it comes to the parsha of Minchat Nidvat Yachid, first mincha that's mentioned there is a Minchat Solet. So again, here in the Mishnah, it's also mentioned first. Then we have Machavat V'Amarcheshet. Now, if you were following the order of the Torah, you would expect it to put in Ma'afet Tanur here, and then move to Machavat and Marcheshet. That's the order in the Torah. And here it says first Machavat and then Marcheshet. It's either because these Menachot are more similar to each other than the Ma'afet Tanur, maybe because they're more simple in terms of their din than the Ma'afet Tanur. We're going to see in a second there's a machloket about the Ma'afet Tanur. So we have Minchat Solet, which is a mincha that comes as flour. Then there's the Minchat Machavat, which is put on a shallow frying pan. It's Minchat Marcheshet, which is put in a deep frying pan. And then we have the Ma'afet Tanur. Ma'afet Tanur can manifest itself either as chalot or arikikim. Either come as breads, or it can come as cracker-like. Both of them, of course, are not chametz. It's just a question of the thickness of the me'afet tanur. Minchat kohanim, and mincha of a kohanim. Now, minchat kohanim, you might have thought is different because minchat kohanim is kalil Lashem. So maybe there should be something different about the minchat kohanim. Minchat kohen mashiach is the minchat chavitin that we've been discussing until now that's brought by the kohen gadol daily, as well as a kohen hejot when he comes into service. Minchat Oveid Kochavim, Minchat Nashim. It's not clear here why the Mishnah adds these in. The Minchat Oveid Kochavim is a non-Jew's Mincha. Minchat Nashim is a woman's Mincha. The Achronim try to justify why it is. It seems to be it's brought down Agav Grora, brought down because of the other Minachot that are mentioned over here. And then Minchat Omer is the last of those that require both Shemen and Livona. Minchat Omer is the one that's brought on the second day of Pesach, from the barley, and it includes a requirement for both Shemen and Levona as well. If you noted, there are actually 10 minachot that were mentioned here that will become important when we get to the Gemara. Minchat Nisachim, the mincha that comes along with the Korban, the Minchat Nisachim, tuna Shemen, ve'ein tuna Levona, requires oil, but it does not require frankincense. Lechem Apanim, the Lechem Apanim that goes on the Shulchan Apanim, to un livona, ve'ein to un shemen. That requires livona. That's the bazikhe livona that I put on the shulchan along with the lechem panim. Ve'ein to un shemen, but it doesn't have a din in shemen. And as Tosafot already notes over here, that the lechem apanim and the shtei alechem that are about to be mentioned are ikrei mincha. They're called mincha. Whether they're literally called a mincha, or whether they are within the world of minachot, they're subsumed under the Mishnayot's definition of Kol HaMinachot here in Masechet Minachot, because they are breads, matzot, flour offerings that are brought in the Mikdash, and therefore they're classified as Minachot. Shtei Lechem, Uminchat Choteh, Uminchat Kinaot. Shtei Lechem, which we just spent a lot of time speaking about, those are the two Lechem of Chametz that come on Shavuot, along with the Kivsei Atzeret. Minchat Choteh is the Kurban Ole V'Yoreid, with the lowest form of Korban being a mincha, minchat choteh, or minchat kinaot, is that which is brought by the sota, ain't to name lo shemen velo levona. They don't have shemen or levona on them. And there we get the examples that relate to the four permutations that the Mishnah started with, which have these features of Shemen and Luvona. So, Amar Rav Papa, Kohechi Tznan, Eser Tznan. So this is a cryptic statement by Rav Papa, which is anywhere that it's mentioned, it mentions 10. Now, the Gemara says that that's La Fuke mit Rabbi Shimon. That comes to exclude or goes against the position of Rabbi Shimon, Damar Mechsa Chalot, Umechsa Rikikim. Because he says that the Mincha Me'afek Tanur can either come 100% chalot, 100% rikikim, or 50% chalot, 50% rikikim. You can make a choice. In the psukim, in the Torah, it tells you that there are two types of mincha ma'afet. Chi takrim kurban mincha ma'afet tanur, solot chalot matzot belulot v'shemen, or rikikim matzot mishuchim v'shemen. So you have a choice between these chalot matzot or these rikikim that you can bring as part of the ma'afet tanur. So what the statement of Rav Papa is saying, which we don't know what it says yet, but it's saying that this is against Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon believes that you actually have three types of me'afet tanur. You have the 100% chalot matzot, you have 100% rikikei matzot, and then you have 50-50. Whereas we only know of two types of me'afet tanur, which is either 100% chalot, 100% rikikim. You can choose between the two of them, but you can't bring both of them in a single mincha ma'afet tanur. Rashi over here brings two explanations for what the meaning of Rav Papa's statement is. The first of which is that everything in our Mishnah comes eser chalot. That all of these are eser chalot. So that means the minchat solet comes as eser chalot. That's already problematic because it's a minchat solet. It's brought as a flower offering. It's not necessarily baked. It is possibly the shirayim are baked by the kohanim, and the question of whether that is l'chatchila b'diavad, so that's already somewhat of a problem. Then we have the machavat, marcheshet, chalot, and rikikim. So over here, they all come as series of 10. So that would be why it's against Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon says the chalot and rikikim can come as 5 and 5. They don't have to come as 10. Then you have the minchat kohanim, the minchat kohen mashiach. It also presents a problem because the Minchat Kavikim comes as 12 and not as 10. So you have here somewhat of a list of 10, but it seems to be that it's a reference to those of the Minchat Nidvat Yechid, that they come as groups of 10 or 10 units, and therefore it would be problematic for Rabbi Shimon, who thinks that the Minchat Ma'afet Tanur can come as 5 Kalot and 5 Rikikim, therefore in the Mishnah it's not 10. The second way that Rashi brings is that there are 10 minachot that are mentioned over here, and all the dinim of the Mishnayot, including this Mishnah, and then the upcoming Mishnayot that are speaking about the Korbanei Mincha, reference to these 10 minachot. So that's what I told you in the Mishnah, that we listed 10 minachot. According to Rabbi Shimon, there'd be an 11th mincha. We have the mincha, which is the minchat kalot and minchat rikikim. According to Rabbi Shimon, there'd also be a mincha that is chalot v'rikikim, and it's a joint mincha ma'afet tanur. So you'd have 11 instead of 10 enumerated in the Mishnah, and that's why the statement of Rav Papa is against Rabbi Shimon. Fukim Rabbi Shimon, who says that you can have mechsa chalot and mechsa rikikim, so that you can bring a ma'afet tanur that's comprised of half chalot, half rikikim, kamash malan, delo, that's not what our Mishnah is saying, or that we do not subscribe to that position of Rabbi Shimon. Taner Banan, Vinatata Aleha Shemen. So here the Gemara is referencing to a pasuk at the end of the Parshia that deals with the Minchat Nidvat Yachid, which is in Perek Bet in Vayikra, right after what we've spoken about in the last number of days of the Shtei Alechem, that are the Korban Reshit. There's also Minchat Bikurim, which is a reference to the Omer. That's the Korban Omer. Im takriv minchat bikurim l'shem aviv kalui ba'esh geres karmel takriv minchat bikurecha. Then after it says, v'natata aleha shemen, v'samta aleha levona minchahi. So there's a statement about the minchat omer that you put shemen on it, you put levona on it, minchahi, it is a mincha. So now, in the Mishnah, the minchat omer is the last of the 10 items that we enumerated there that has both Shemen and Levona associated with it, and it comes from this pasuk. But the Gemara notes is that the pasuk seems extremely wordy, and therefore they're going to use it to be memayet other items. Natata aleha Shemen, besamta aleha Levona, minchahi. Gemara is going to darshan each of those words in this braita. So Tana Banan, v'natata aleha Shemen, v'lo alechem apanim Shemen, to teach you that the minchat omer gets Shemen, but the lechem apanim do not get Shemen. Sheyachol. I might have thought otherwise. Hello, dinu, it's a kal v'chomer. Uma minchat nisachim, she'ena te'una levona. Minchat nisachim, that does not come with frankincense. Te'una shemen, it does come with oil. Lechem apanim, she'ta'un levona. Lechem apanim, that does come with frankincense. Enu din, she'ta'un shemen. Certainly, it should require shemen. Tamad lomar, aleha. That's what the mute of the word aleha comes to teach you. Aleha shemen, balo lechem hapanim shemen. On it, meaning the Minchat Omer, you will have shemen. On the Lechem Apanim, you will not have shemen. Samta Aleha Levona. So now, the next part of that pasuk is that you put frankincense on the Omer. Aleha Levona, v'alo al Minchat Nisachim Levona. On it, you will put Levona, but you will not put Levona, frankincense, on a Minchat Nisachim. Sheyachol, again, alo dinu, it's a kal v'chomer. Ma Lechem Apanim shenu ta'un shemen, ta'un Levona. The lechem apanim, which doesn't require shemen, but does have levona associated with it. Minchat nisachim shetuna shemen, enu din shetuna levona. If it requires oil, it certainly should require levona, frankincense. Tamalomar, the pasuk says, aleha, aleha levona. On the omer you put levona, below minchat nisachim levona. But not on the minchat nisachim do you put levona. And the Balei Tosafot already note this, and it seems obvious from the first part of the Braita, this is somewhat circular logic, because you're using the Lechem Apanim and the Nisachim as the, first of all, limut from which you're going to learn the Kal v'chomer, but also as the object of the limut here in the Pasuk. You're saying, oh, I would have learned Lechem Apanim from Minchat Nisachim, because Minchat Nisachim doesn't have Levona, but does have Shemen. And the Lechem Apanim should then, because it has Levona, have Shemen. But the only reason we know that the Minchat Nisachim doesn't have Levona is because in the next part of the Braita, it's going to tell you that there's a miut telling you that you can't have levona, and vice versa. When we come to the Minchat Nisachim, we're going to say, oh, Minchat Nisachim should have levona, just because the Lechem Apanim that don't have shemen have levona. So certainly the Minchat Nisachim that has shemen should have levona. Again, it's somewhat circular. What Tosafot just points out is that the lo dami dehocha below kal v'chomer nami avi gmiri hadodi. Since even without a kal v'chomer, there's reason to learn one from the other. O mishar minachot, o demikre mincha. Or from the other minachot, or from the fact that it's called a mincha. So that's what it says, that the kal v'chomer is just a mechanism that's mentioned in the Braita. The truth is, even without the kal v'chomer, there's reason to believe that the minachot share common practices between them, and there'd be reason to believe that if the Lechem Apanim has levona, that maybe the Minchat Nisachim should also have levona, or other minachot should have levona. And if the Minchat Nisachim has shemen, then others should also have shemen, forgetting about the Kal v'chomer. So that's what it says, that Kal v'chomer is just one of the many methods you could have used over here, but it's just saying we have a number of minachot, and it would make sense to overlap their dinim and say that all of them require levona and shemen. Why is it by some we say there is only levona, and why by some of them do we say it's only shemen? That's basically the nature of the Braita's question, and its answer is because we have a miut by the omer. Then you'll have to explain why. The aleha of shemen, why does that exclude the lechem apanim? Why does the aleha levona exclude the minchat nisachim rather than something else? Then we have the end of the pasuk, which is mincha hi, and the bright deductions from that, mincha, rabot minchat shmini levona. That comes to include the fact that the mincha of the miluim required levona, even though levona is not explicitly mentioned by the mincha that's brought on the eighth day during the consecration in Chanukata Mishkan. He is the miut lotzi shtei alechem. To tell you that the shtei alechem, shelo yitanu lo shemen vilo levona. He, meaning the omer, requires shemen and levona, but the shtei alechem do not require shemen and levona. Now the Gemara's Amar Meir is going to go back and dissect the Braita. Aleha shemen, velo alechem apanim shemen. On it, you put shemen on the minchat omer, but on the lechem apanim, you do not put shemen. Ema, why don't we say it this way? Aleha shemen, on it, you put shemen, mean the minchat omer, below al minchat kohanim, but not on the minchat kohen. Maybe the minchat kohanim should not require shemen. Now Rashi comments over here that the Gemara picked minchat kohanim as the minchat that you would possibly exclude, but it's not unique to minchat kohanim. He says, hu adin, it would have been true, not only by minchat kohanim, but it would have been true by minchat nashim and minchat obed kochavim. All of those would be in one pile, and you would have thought to exclude all of those, because they're similar to the Minchat Kohen. Tosafot takes issue with that comparison and says, I don't understand why you would put Minchat Kohen in the same bucket as a Minchat Isha and a Minchat Oved Kochamim. He says, V'nira d'lo balik shui mehanu, the Gemara does not ask from them intentionally. V'shom d'damu tzvei l'chol ha-menachot ha-ktuvot sham. They are much more similar to all the other menachot. They require shemen, they require levona, and they require a kometz. But the Minchat Kohen is not similar to the other menachot there because it is kalil on the mizbeach. So that would have given you a havamina that you would have excluded the Minchat Kohen. And that's why the Gemara is now challenging the Braita and saying, well, you told me that the Minchat Omer tells you that that's not true by the Lechem HaPanim. Why don't you say that the Minchat Omer is true by the Minchat Omer and not true by the Minchat Kohen? Because Minchat Kohen is also a unique Mincha because it's Kalil al HaMizbeach. And so Tosafot says it's uniquely a question about Minchat Kohen, whereas Rashi says it's also about Minchat Isha, Minchat Oved Kochavim, it's all those Minachot at the end. Why didn't you exclude any of those? So Gemara says, Mistavra, Minchat Kohenim, Avalei de Ribuye. Makes more sense that the Minchat Kohenim should be similar to the Minchat HaOmer, Shekein, because they have these things in common. First of all, Isaron. They both are an Isaron Solet, as opposed to the Lechem HaPanim, which we are excluding over here, that are Chavdalet Isronim for 12 loaves, which means that there's Shnei Isronim for each Chala. So that's the first difference between them. So it makes more sense to say that the Minchat Kohen is similar to the Minchat Omer versus the Lechem HaPanim because of this one difference, because of Isaron. Kli. So over here, this is a little difficult. Rashi over here says that the Kli is Kol HaMinachot Te'unot Kli Lalush. All Minachot require a Kli in which to Lalush, to knead them, to put them together. As opposed to the Lechem HaPanim, which can be done totally outside of the Mikdash, and are only baked in the Mikdash, and the Tanur is what's Mikdash them in the Mikdash, the Minchat HaOmer and the Minchat Kohanim are done in the Mikdash and are kneaded in a Kli Sharet in the Mikdash. That'd be the difference between them. The Baalei Tosafot already point out Kasha, because that really depends on what we saw on Daf Nun Zayin. Is imir yavesh nitkacha? Is the dry measure nitkadesh? If the dry measure is nitkadesh, lechem apanim nami by kli. Then the lechem apanim also require kli because you measure out the isaron in that dry measure. And therefore it also be nitkadesh. Vimirat yavesh lo nitkacha. If the mirat yavesh was never nitkadesh, tavayu lo bayi kli. Then neither of these require kli. Vishum ashemen. If it's because of the oil, ba'ukli, because the Minchat Kohanim and the Minchat Omer have shemen, so they require kli, but that's because you assume that they need shemen now. Right now, we're thinking maybe the Lechem HaPanim should also require shemen. If that's the case, it also require a kli for its shemen as well. And therefore, that's not a distinction for the Lisha or the Belila, and Tosafot does not accept Rashi's distinction, but rather, near the Farish, the kli, hainu, inyan kli, Shavu Ahadadi. Minchat Omer, Minchat Nesachim, they are similar to each other because they go into a Kli Sharet, a regular utensil in the Mikdash. But the Lechem HaPanim, Ba'ishuchan u'bazichem levona, it has unique utensils that are associated with the Lechem HaPanim. They're placed on the Shulchan HaPanim, Bifnim. And also the levona that is on them is placed into these bazichim, these pitchers or spoons that sit on the Shulchan with the levona in it. So they have unique utensils, and that's what the Baalei Tosafot says is the difference, that a Minchat Kohen and a Minchat Omer have the common denominator of Kli, which is different than that Kli that is used by Lechem HaPanim. They all require Kli, but it's a different set of utensils for the Lechem HaPanim than it is for the other Menachot. Chutz, they are both outside the Heichal. The Lechem HaPanim is placed in the Heichal, it's placed in the Kodesh. A Minchat Kohen and a Minchat Omer is processed in the Azara and is placed on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So that's Chutz. V'tzura. Tzura is the integrity of the item, which usually we saw before, Hebrew Tzura, that if you wanted to make something pasul, you have to leave it overnight. And then when you leave it overnight, it loses its Tzura and then you can burn it. So the difference here is Tzura. A Minchat Omer and the Minchat HaKohanim have to be done on that day. Once they're put into a Kli Sharet, they will be pasul if they're left overnight. That is not true of the Lechem Panim. The Lechem Panim will remain on the Shulchan for the entire week. They're not just there for one day. They're not pasul b'lina. Hagasha. The Minchat Omer and the Minchat of the Kohanim require that you take the Mincha and touch it to the Keren Dromit Maravit, the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. Zotarat HaMincha, Krevotah B'Neiron, Lifnei Hashem, El Pnei HaMizbeach. You have to be Megishit, Lifnei Hashem, and Lifnei HaMizbeach. Lifnei Hashem is the western side facing the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Lifnei HaMizbeach is the ramp side of the Mizbeach, which is the southern side of the Mizbeach. There's a requirement of Hagasha, both by the Minchat Omer, as well as by the Minchat Kohanim. That's not true by the Lechem HaPanim. V'ishim. In addition, both the Minchat Kohen, which is Kalil, and the Minchat Omer, which requires a Kometz, end up on the Ishim, on the pyre. Direct piece of them ends up on the pyre. The Lechem HaPanim, only the Bazichei Levona end up on the pyre, but the Lechem HaPanim themselves do not end up on the pyre. That's six things that are common between the Minchat Omer and the Minchat Kohanim, which would have pressed us or pushed us towards saying that that should be similar and included in the requirement for Shemen. I says, Adrabba, Lechem Panim, I believe the Rubuyet. Lechem Panim, you should have included to have Shemen, Shekain, because it has overlapping or common denominators between it and the Omer, which is number one, Sibora. They're both Korbanei HaTzibur. It's Korban HaOmer and the Lechem Panim are Korbanot HaTzibur. The Korban of a Kohen is a Minchat Yachid, Chovah. They are obligatory offerings. That is that the Minchat Omer must be brought on the second day of Pesach, and the Lechem HaPanim are brought weekly and placed on the Shulchan, and the Bazichim are Mukrav every Shabbat. Tamyo, they are Duche Tumah. Now, this you could question whether this is really a separate statement. We had this already before in the Gemara, and the question as to whether this is a separate statement, or is this a derivative of the fact that it's an obligatory offering. The fact that it's chovah, kavua lazman, makes it that it's, first of all, doche tuma, and later on in this list here, the last one would be b'shapto. It's also doche shabbat. But that's both because they are a korban that has a fixed time, as well as the fact that they are korbanei tzibur, the two of those combined, to make it that it's going to be doche tuma, doche shabbat. So whether you count those as separate items or subcategories of this item, but you have tuma, de'ochil. These are korbanot that are eaten. The Minchat Omer, the Shiraim are eaten. The Lechem HaPanim, they're eaten entirely because the Bazichim go on the Mizbeach, Lechem HaPanim are eaten. Minchat Kohen is Kalil, none of it is eaten. Pigula. You can have a Machshevet Pigul by the Lechem HaPanim and by the Omer because they both have Matirim. They have something that's Matir them to the Mizbeach. For the Lechem HaPanim, the Bazichim are Matir to the Mizbeach. So you can have a Machshevet Pigul when you're working with the Matir. And the Minchat Omer has a kometz that goes on the Mizbeach that can be Machshevet Pigul, can be during that period of time you're working with that matir, the kometz going on the Mizbeach. The Minchat Kohen has no matir. The entire Mincha is going down the Mizbeach, and therefore there can't be any Machshevet Pigul. And Shabto, we already mentioned before. So now, this would be six items that would get you to be a stalemate. Elohim Kane, you say that Tuma and Shabbat are really a subcategory of Chovah. Mistavra Nefesh, he says in the end, that even though you have equally as many reasons to say that the Minchat Kohen is similar to the Minchat Omer as the Lechem HaPanim are to the Minchat Omer, nevertheless, we include the Minchat Kohen to say it requires Shemen, and we exclude the Lechem HaPanim to say they do not require Shemen, and that's because of the word Nefesh. The word Nefesh appears at the beginning of the Korbanei Minchat Nidava, which is found in Vayikra Bet Pasuk Aleph, Nefesh ki tukriv Korban Mincha Lashem, Solitia Korbanov, Yatzaka Lashemen, Natana Le Levona. So there is the Minchat Solit I mentioned before. That's the first thing mentioned in the Mishnah, partly because of this, which is there by the Minchat Solit. It mentions you need both Shemen and Levona. From that, we learn to the other Minachot, and that's from the word Nefesh. Nefesh is an individual. So that's why it makes more sense to say the Minchat Kohen will require Shemen and Levona, because that's a Nefesh. It's more parallel with the Minchat Solet than it is the Lechem HaPanim are parallel with the Minchat Solet. And so that's why Minchat Kohen is included to have the need for Shemen. And why the Lechem Panim are excluded and do not require Shemen over here comes out of the word Nefesh, which we will see later on in the Gemara's Darshan. It's a beautiful drasha that all other Korbanot, it says Adam. By the Mincha, it says Nefesh. And that's because, as Rashi notes, brings from the Midrash Chazal, that who is the person that normally brings a mincha? It's the Ani. And for the Ani, this is his nefesh. This is everything that he has that he can give. As well as the fact that Hashem recognizes that the Ani, despite the small gift or korban that he is bringing, nevertheless Hashem sees in it the equivalence of a bird or a behemah, because this is the korban of the Ani. So Amar Mar, so now we go to the next line in the Braita. Aleh levona, v'lo minchat nesachim levona. On the Minchat Omer, you have frankincense. You do not have that on the Minchat Nisachim. Ema, why don't we try this? Ale Livona, below Minchat Kohanim, Livona. Once again, let's put Livona on the Minchat Omer, but not on the Minchat Kohanim. So why are you excluding Minchat Nisachim? You should exclude Minchat Kohanim. Mistavra, again. Minchat Kohanim, Avalei Lirubuye. Minchat Kohanim is more similar to the Minchat HaOmer, as opposed to the Minchat Nisachim, for the following reasons. Shekein Isaron. First of all, it comes as an Isaron, so that, as opposed to the Minchat Nisachim, that come as either an Isaron, Shnei Isaron, three Isaronim, they come as different sizes. Balol Bilog, it is mixed with a Log Shemen. A Minchat Nisachim comes with either a ratio of one Isaron to two Log Shemen, or one Isaron to three log shemen, depending on which of the nisachim that you are bringing. There is the minchat kvasim, which is 3 to 1, but then you have the elim, and then you have the parim, which are 2 to 1 in terms of their ratio of oil to solet. Whereas the minchat kohen is no different than the minchat omer, where it's one isaron of solet and one log of shemen. They're balul, they're mixed together. Mugash, it requires hagashah to the corner of the mizbeach, both the minchat kohen and the minchat omer. That's not true by the minchat nisachim. Biglal etzem, it comes because of itself. It's not triggered by something else. The minchat kohen is brought by a kohen. The minchat omer is brought because it's a korban that needs to be brought in the mikdash. There is no other korban that is triggering it. On the other hand, minchat nisachim are brought as an accompaniment to another korban. Those are four items that are common between a Minchat Kohen and a Minchat Omer, which make us include it rather than exclude it. Where it says, Adraba, Minchat Nisachim, Havalei Rebuye. Minchat Nisachim are more similar to the Minchat Omer. Shukain, because once again here you have four items. Sibora, they're both Korbanot HaTzibor. The Minchat Nisachim is both a Korban Yachid as well as a Korban of the Tzibor. The Minchat Omer is clearly a Minchat Tzibor. Chova, the Minchat Nisachim comes as an obligatory offering, as well as the Minchat Omer, whereas the Minchat Kohen is a voluntary offering. The Itme B'Shabto, this I said again before, this could be that it's a derivative of Chova, that it's Doche Tuma, Doche Shabbat. Once again here, you have four items that make it common between the Minchat Omer and the Minchat Nisachim, which would then lead you to believe Minchat Nisachim should have been included and exclude the Minchat Kohen. But now you have four on each side. You can't determine which one. Mistavra Nefesh. Once again, the same answer that's given, which is Nefesh, which leads the Parsha by Minchat Nidvat Yachid, by the Minchat HaSolet, says that that which is the Korban HaYachid, that is associated with the Nefesh, that requires Shemen, that requires Levona. So therefore, for Minchat Kohanim, we're going to include Shemen and Levona. And that means for the Lechem HaPanim, we're going to exclude Shemen. And for the Minchat Nisachim, we're going to exclude Levona, because they aren't nefesh. They aren't associated necessarily with nefesh. So the Minchat Kohen makes more sense to include because it's always nefesh, as opposed to the Minchat Nisachim, which are sometimes nefesh, sometimes the Tzibur is bringing them. And again, it's as all these other common denominators between it and the Minchat Omer. Now we move on to the third limud of the Braita, which is Mincha. They're both Minchat Shmini. Lilevona, to tell you that the mincha that was brought on the eighth day on the Yom Chanukat HaMishkan, that mincha that's brought along with the korbanot, is a mincha that requires levona. Ve'imalotzi. Why are you including levona? Maybe it's coming to tell you that this mincha requires it, and not the mincha of Shmini. Haimai. Why would you ever think that? Yomar Bishlam Alarabot. If you're saying it's coming to include it, Shapir, I understand then what it's doing over here. Eliyamart Lohotzi. It's coming to tell you that this mincha requires, I mean, the Minchat Omer requires Livona, But the mincha of shmini does not require levona. Lomali, why do I even need a miut? Sha'at midorot lo yofina. There's no reason to believe there is levona by the mincha of shmini, because the only place we have levona mentioned there are by regular minachot. And we already established, again, back on Daf Nun Zayin, that we don't learn sha'at from dorot. Just because you do that in korbanot that are going to be used in the mikdash on a regular basis, doesn't mean that these unique korbanot that are brought in these particular times also have those same requirements or those same trappings. If it doesn't tell you they need them, then you don't need them. So if you don't have anything telling you need it, why do you need a miut to tell you don't need it? So the only way it makes sense is to say that it's inclusionary rather than exclusionary. He is the last of the things that was learned in the Braita. Lotzi shtei alechem. This comes to exclude the shtei alechem. Shlo yitanu lo shemen vilo levona. Tell you that shtei alechem don't require not shemen, nor do they require levona. Ve'ema lotzi minchat kohanim. Once again, Gemara says, why don't we exclude minchat kohanim? They're picking on Minchat Kohen according to the Baal Tosafot because it's Kalil. Rashi says it means they're picking on Minchat Kohen, Nashim, and Ovdei Kohanim because they're different than your regular Mincha, either because of the type of Mincha, which according for the Kohen is Kalil, or for the parties that are bringing the Mincha that are different from the typical bringer of a Korban. So Mistavra, Minchat Kohenim, Avdei Lerubuye, makes more sense to include Minchat Kohen because it has these overlapping features with the Minchat Omer. Isaron, they're brought from an Isaron, as opposed to the Shtei Alechem, that are brought to Esronim, versus Isaron for the Minchat Kohen. Kli, they require a Kli, as opposed to the Shtei Alechem. This is going to be the same explanation that we saw before for Rashi, to what the requirement of Kli is over here. Rashi, it's a Kli, the Lushpo. Shtei Alechem don't have any requirement for a Kli at all, and are only baked in the Mikdash, and the Tanur is what's Mikadesh them in the Mikdash. Matzah, the Minchat Kohen and the Minchat Omer are not Chametz, as opposed to the Shtei Alechem, which is Chametz. Ve'etzem, the Minchat Omer and the Minchat Kohen come because of themselves, they're not triggered by anything else, whereas the Shtei Alechem are brought with the Kibseh Atzeret. Hagashah, they require touching to the corner of the Mizbeach, the Minchat Omer, Minchat Kohen, that's not true by the Shtei Alechem. Ve'ishim, both from the Minchat Kohen as well as Minchat Omer, part of them physically ends up on the Mizbeach. For the Minchat Kohen, the entirety of it does. The Minchat Omer, the Kometz, ends up on the pyre. Whereas the Shtei Alechem, none of it ends up on the pyre. It's eaten by the Kohanim. So here you have six items that are common between the Minchat Kohen and the Minchat Omer. Where it says, Adarabo, should say just the opposite, Shtei Alechem, Havalei the Rubuye. Shtei Alechem have more in common with the Minchat Omer. Shekein, Tzibur, they're both Korbanei Tzibur. The Omer and the Shtei Alechem are Korbanei Tzibur as far as the Minchat Kohen, which is Korbanei Yachid. Chovah, they're obligatory offerings, as opposed to Minchat Kohen, which is a voluntary offering. Tamyo, and again at the end of the list will be Shabto, Tuma, and Shabbat, which are derivatives of Chovah, that they're obligatory offerings. Da'achal, they are both eaten. The Minchat Omer, the Shirayim are eaten. The Shtei Alechem are eaten in their entirety. The Minchat Kohen is Kalil HaMizbeach. None of it is eaten. Pigula, because they have a matir, therefore they can become pigul. That's true of the Shtei Alechem, which the Kibseh Atzeret are the matir. And it's true by the Minchat Omer, where the Kometz is the matir. The Minchat Kohen has no matir, because the entirety of it goes on the Mizbeach, so there's no pigul. Shabta, we already mentioned. Matir, they are matirim. The Minchat Omer is Matir Chadash in the Gvulin. The Shtei Alechem are Matir Chadash in the Mikdash. So they come to be Matir something else. The Minchat Kohen does not come to be Matir anything. Tznufa, they are required to be waved. The Shtei Alechem are done with Tznufa with the Kibseh Atzeret. The Omer requires a waving by it. Kurban Minchat Omer. Minchat Kohen doesn't require any Tznufa whatsoever. Baaretz, both the Omer and the Shtei Alechem have to come from produce, that is, of inside of Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to the Minchat Kohen that can even come from stuff that's outside of Eretz Yisrael. Bizman, they both have a particular time in which they are brought, as opposed to the Minchat Kohen, which does not have any particular time in which it is brought. Chadash, they are both brought from the new grain. They're brought from something that's yet to be used. The Omer comes from the new barley, and the Shtei Alechem come from the new wheat. It's the first new barley to be used in the Mikdash as the Omer. It's the first new wheat to be used in the Mikdash as the Shtei Alechem. That's obviously not true of the Minchat Kohen. Then here, Hanach Nefishan. Suppose the other cases where we had somewhat of a stalemate between them, over here it's clear that the common denominators between the Omer and the Shtei Lechem are much greater than those between that of the Kohen. There's at least a minimum of 9, and if you count Shabbat and Tumah, you have 11 here versus 6. That's significantly more aligned with the Shtei Lechem than it is with the Minchat Kohen. Mark gives the same answer again, Mistabra Nefesh. Nefesh is the thing that's Koveh over here, and Minchat Kohen is Nefesh. And therefore it requires Shemen and Levona, as opposed to the Shtei Lechem, which are going to be precluded from the word He, because they are Nefesh, they are Korbanot HaTzibur, and so they're going to exclude it, and they will not have the requirement not for Shemen, nor for Levona. Now we move on to the next Mishnah. V'chayav al Shemen bifnei atzmo, v'chayav al Levona bifnei atzma. As Rashi explains over here, the Mishnah is telling us that for a Korban Mincha, that you're not supposed to put on Shemen, or you're not supposed to put on Levona. If you put on Shemen or Levona, then you're going to be Chayav for each one of them independently. For instance, a Minchat Choteh, that is a Minchat Chareva that does not have Shemen, does not have Levona. You put Shem on it, you're going to be Chayav. You put Levona on it, you're going to be Chayav. So Natan Aleha Shemen Pasla. You put on Shemen onto it, it's done. The Mincha is Pasul. Levona, on the other hand, if you put frankincense onto it, Yilaktena. You can pick it up, clean it up, take it off the Mincha, and then you can continue to work with this Mincha after you've taken the Levona off. As I mentioned before, the Levona is really pellets of frankincense. It's not powder. We're going to see the issue of powder in the Gemara. At face value, it seemed that the restriction against placing the Shemen or the Levona on top of the Mincha is an Isser in of itself at the time that you place it on. Although there are those that suggest that it's only true when you're maktir it, meaning that once you place it on and then are maktir it, you'll be chayav. But if you're not maktir it, you would not be chayav. That might have implications to a chiddush that the Sefer HaChinuch says, which is that only zichri kuna are chayav for putting shemen or levona on the mincha. Minchat Chinuch notes that even a Yisrael could do the tzikat shemen. So why should only zichri kuna be chayav? But if you believe that the chiyuv is only for haktara, then you can understand maybe why zichri kuna are the ones that are chayavim and not Yisrael, because Yisrael is not involved in the process of haktara. But that's really only to explain that chidush. Otherwise, it seems to make more sense that the chiyuv is associated with the placement on the item and not necessarily with the hakrava. Natan shemen al shiureha, enu over belotase. It's a strange way to formulate it, but it says that if you put oil on the residuals of these korbanot mincha that do not require shemen, that's not a problem. Now, from the Mishnah, it sounds like it's not a lotase, but the chatchila, we would not recommend it, which is interesting because we don't find any restriction anywhere that you shouldn't put shemen on the shirayim. And especially since the Kohanim are given the right to eat the shirayim as they please, limoshcha, ligdula, they can eat it in a way of a manner of royalty, and they should have the right then to put on oil. Over here, the formulation in the Mishnah makes it sound like better not to. You have to say that there's one of two problems over here. The one possible problem is the fact that if we allow you to put shemen on the shirayim, you might end up putting on the shemen before the kometz is removed from it, or before whatever the process is that you need done for the Kohanim to be mutar to eat them, you're going to put the shemen on too early. That's the risk. Or you have to say that we want to maintain the nature of this mincha, which is a minchat choteh, which is a minchat chareva, and we don't want you putting shemen on it because in that some way it enhances the korban. Despite the fact that you're already dealing with the shirayim are a derivative of the korban, and we don't want you putting shemen on it. One of those two reasons, we would say that we would tell you not to put shemen on, even though technically there may not be any isur for putting on shemen. Natan kli, agave kli, lo pasla. The way Rashi describes this over here, it's again not clear from the Mishnah, is that you put oil into a kli, and then you place that kli on top of the minchat choteh. So over there, that's not posel it, because you can take the kli out, and then it's not going to affect the mincha, and that's why it's not a problem. So now, Tanur Banan, lo yasim alehem shemen. It says that you shouldn't place on them shemen. So this is by the minchat choteh. Again, it's by the korban olev yored in perek hay of Vayikra, where it says im lo tasig yado l'shtei torim l'shnei bnei yola, v'imid korbanu asher chatas sivita ifa סולת לחטאת, לא ישים עליה שמן, ולא ייתן עליה לבונה, כי חטאת היא. So there, there is a restriction against putting shemen and against putting levona on the minchat choteh. Ve'im sam pasal. If you put it on, you ruin the mincha. So if you put the shemen on, you ruin it. Yochol lo yitein aleh levona. You would think you're not allowed to put levona, which is what the pasuk says. Ve'im natan pasal. If you put it on, it would ruin the mincha. Tomalomar ki chatat. The pasuk ends with ki chatat. It says lo yitein aleh levona ki chatat hi. That implies that even after you put the levona on, it's still a chatat. So that means that even though you put on the levona, it's not pasul as a korban. Yochol af b'shemen. You would think that'd be true for shemen then too. That's still called the chatat. Tam lomer he. That's the miut of he. He. Only this, but not anything else. Ma ra'ita. So this is a classic question the Gemara we ask. How do you know which one to include and which one to exclude? Lifsol b'shemen. Ulakshir b'levona. How did you know to say that the shemen is posel the mincha, and the levona doesn't ruin the mincha? Why don't we just say just the opposite? The answer is, posel ani b'shemen, shi'ef shalalakto. The reason that we think shemen is problematic is once it gets it on, you can't collect it again. It's impossible to get the shemen back off the mincha. U'makshir ani b'levona, shi'ef shalalakta. By levona, you have the ability to collect it and take it off, and again, that goes back to this idea of the pellets. By Rabo bar Ravuna, mi Rabbi Yochanan, natan alei levona shchuka. He puts on it ground or milled frankincense. So again, if he started with pellets, now he's made it into a powder. Puts the powder on the mincha, so now it's much harder to pick up powder off a mincha. It's not going to be easy versus collecting a bunch of pellets of frankincense off the mincha. Mahu, what's the din? Shum de'ef shalalakta is the reason that the levona is not posel the mincha because you can collect it. V'alo ef shalalakta. And here we've created a scenario where you cannot pick up the frankincense because it is a powder. O dilma, mishum de'lo mivla'a. Maybe it's because it's not absorbed into the mincha. V'hamanami lo mivla'a. And similarly, this frankincense is not absorbed. The shemen, which is a liquid, gets absorbed into the mincha. So not only is the problem you can't collect it, why you can't collect it is because it's absorbed into the mincha. Whereas the frankincense is not absorbed into the mincha, and so too, the powdered frankincense will not be absorbed into the mincha, even though it might be difficult to collect. So tashma, let us say, ulevona yilaktena, by levona, you collect it. Dilma chada v'od gamar. When it says yilaktena in our Mishnah, it doesn't mean that that is the reason or the sole reason. Means that's one of the reasons. One of the reasons why the levona is something that's not posel the mincha is because you can collect it, and maybe also because the lo mivla, it's not absorbed. Chada de lo mivla. One is the fact that it's not absorbed. Vod yilaktenim. And in addition, you can collect it. But that doesn't mean that if you had powdered frankincense or levona, that that would automatically be posel it, because you have two possibilities here. It's because it's not absorbed and because you can collect it. Tashma. So now we have our braita here that says that I allow the levona because you're able to collect it. So again, it sounds like collection is the main issue. Same answer we're going to give over here is that it's one of the two reasons that's given. It gave you the reason of collection, but the equal reason that you could have given was mifla, that it's not absorbed. And either one of those would be sufficient to make it that it's not pasul. My havi Allah. So then what is the din over here? Tanya, minchat choteh, minchat kinaot. So these are both dry minachot, minchat choteh that we're discussing now, korban olevi, right? Minchat kinaot of the sota, shenatan aleha levona, melaketet the levona, ukshera. If you place levona on it, you collect it and take it off, and the mincha is fine. Vima ad shalo liket levonata. If before you collected levona, chishev aleha, you thought about it, ben chutz lizmano, ben chutz limkomo, pasul, vein bo karet. If you have one of these makshavot, there its korban is pasul, but there is no karet. Ve'im mishal liket levonata, if once you've collected levona, at that point, michashev aleha chutz limkomo, at that point you have a makshav of chutz limkomo, pasul, vein bo karet. Then it's pasul with no karet. Chutz lizmano, if you have makshev chutz lizmano at that point, pigul v'chayim alav karet, then you're chayav karet. Now over here, the reason being is that when the mincha is ksheira, You can have a makshevet psul that is impactful. That's what we know already from the din of pigul. Din of pigul is ke hartzarta kach pigula. The way that it's kasher is the way that also pigul is created. So only when the mincha is a mincha kshera can you have a makshava pigul that is impactful. If the mincha is not kshera, you can't have a makshava that is impactful. So while the levona is on the mincha is at that point psula. So since it's psula, your makshava is going to have no impact because it's already psula. Once you remove the levona from the mincha, then it becomes a mincha kshera once again. And therefore your makshavot at that point, makshavot pigul, will be impactful at that point in time. So here you have, in this braita, you see that it's the collection of the levona is what makes it once again kshera. And while the levona is on top of it, it is psula. And so you see from this that the fact that it was not removed is what is causing the problem over here, and not the fact that it's not absorbed into the mincha. Because if it's not absorbed into the mincha, then there's no question of dichui over here, because in the state that it is, it's not absorbed into the mincha, and therefore it wouldn't make the mincha psula at all. And the whole question of dichui would not arise in that situation. So it must be that the reason that levona is not posel is because you can collect it, and when you collect it, then it's no longer pasul, but while it was in there, it is pasul. As Rashi says over here, Alma mi de kamar, kol zman shelevona betocha. As long as levona is still in the utensil, psulahi, shmamina belekita talya milta. From here you see it's connected to lekita, and not to the fact that it's not absorbed. Because if it was not absorbed, then it also would not be psula while it's sitting on top, because it was just never absorbed into the mincha. So the Gemara says about that, vitave pach. Wait a minute. This is based on the Girsa of Tosafot over here. Although the Shita Mikubetz and Ot Lamedalit, he brings a way to defend the original Girsa that's here. Tosafot goes out of his way to try to explain how the Girsa got ruined, which is very interesting. He said that somebody wrote something on the margin to say Perush, and they were saying that this is the explanation of it, and someone who was copying it down put the word Perush into the Gemara itself. And therefore you ended up with a problematic version of the Gemara. And that's why to come and he meant it and take it out in order to have it back to its original Girsa. That's what the Baal Tosafot suggests over here, or go out of their way to explain how it went wrong and the mistake that was made that got the Girsa to be changed to the wrong Girsa. But the way he's reading it in the new Girsa, the way that Baal Tosafot seems to be reading it is, it should be pasul, b'mai pasla b'makshava. And therefore, why is it that makshava has any impact? Dichui hu. It was suspended for a period of time. The problem you have here is that the mincha, during the period of time that the levona is on it, is a mincha psula. And we have a principle by korbanot that if you are temporarily disqualified from being a korban, that is dichui, you've been pushed out, and then even when you become requalified, you can't come back to your former status and be kasher. So here you have a mincha upon which levona was placed, and the levona being placed on the mincha makes it that it was psula during that period of time. Then afterwards, once the levona is removed, you've now made the mincha once again qualified. So that is something that went through a disqualification stage. That should make it dichoy. If it's dichoy, the korban is out and you can't bring it on the mizbeach. If then you have a pigol or machshev pigol, it should have no impact. The machshev pigol only works in something that could have gone on the mizbeach and then is processed like it was kasher. Just with the makshevet pigul. Over here, the korban mincha should be disqualified just because of the fact that it is dachoy. Just because it was suspended for a period of time. The way that Rashi explains the Gemara, as is elucidated by the Baal HaYad Tosafot, is the following. The question is not on, like the Baal HaYad Tosafot say, on the Mishnah and the Braita with regards to dachoy, that period of time where the mincha is disqualified, but rather, it's a question about how the Braita over here can say that the mincha is disqualified through a machshava in a period of time where it's not kasher as a mincha. Meaning that interim period where the levona is on the mincha, that's a period of time of dichui. And how is it possible that the machshava that you have then has any impact on the mincha? You can only have a machshava on a mincha kshera. And that means after you take the levona off, the mincha should not be psula. It's a return to its state of being kshera, because any machshava that you had during that period of time or interim time would not be impactful because the mincha was psula or nidchet during that period of time. So that's the question according to the way that Rashi has the Girsa and the way that it's elucidated by the Balei Tosafot. The Balei Tosafot don't love that explanation because they feel that the answers that are given, while they do fit according to this, they're not as strong and don't make as much sense if you're not speaking about the classic form of Dichui that we find in the Gemara. So Amar Abaye, Chatat Karye Rachmana. So Abaye's answer is, that's what we just said before. Even when there's Labona on it, it's still called a Chatat. Even though technically it is Nidche, by the Mincha, there is a Gzeret HaKatuv, that it retains its status as a Chatat, even while the Labona is on it. Rabba Amar, Hamani. Rabba says, who's the author of this position? Chanana Mitzri, who? The late Lady Chuyin. Chanana Mitzri, who we bump into in Masechet Yoma, who believes that there is no concept of Dachui. Most people believe that there is Dachui, at least with objects after Shechita. They may believe that Balei Chaim ain't Nidachim, but everybody agrees that after they're shechted the animal, that there is Dachui with regards to these animals, with the exception of Chanana Mitzri. Chanana Mitzri says, with regards to the Seir HaMishtaleach and the Seir LaShem, the two Seirim that are brought, and you do the lottery on them to determine which one is LaZazel and which one is LaShem. And over there, if you have one of them go bad, depending on which part or which stage of the process it goes bad, it might affect its partner. But everybody agrees, once you've gotten past the point of Shechita, and you have a kos, you have the cup full of blood of the Seir LaShem, you spill that cup, or you lose that cup, then the Seir HaMishtaleach cannot be used anymore, and you need to do a new goral and bring in a new series of Seir LaShem and Seir LaZazel. That's what everybody else believes, except for Chanana Mitzri, Omer, Filu Damba Kos, even if you have blood in the cup, and you're doing the Matnot Damba the Seir LaShem, if something happens to the Seir HaMishtaleach during that period of time, you just have to bring a new partner, a new Seir HaMishtaleach, and he'll fill in for the old Seir HaMishtaleach. You don't have to restart from the beginning. You don't have to do any hagrala. There's no concept of dikhoi over here. And so therefore, there's no dikhoi over here. He doesn't have to spill out the blood if the Seir HaMishtaleach dies. And similarly in our case, even though there was levona in the mincha, that levona in the mincha is not cause dikhoi for the korban because Chanan HaMitzri doesn't subscribe to this concept of dikhoi. According to all the other Tanaim, there was dikhoi over here because this korban already is in dam. Seir HaMishtaleach dies, that's going to ruin the dam here, and you'd have to restart from the beginning with the new Hagrala. Vashi Amar, Kosh Biyado, Lo Avi Dichui. Anything that you have the capacity to fix or rectify is not called Dichui. Amar Ravada, Kavate Ravashi Mistabra. That which Ravashi says makes sense. Demant Shamit Le Dit Le Dichuyin. Rabbi Yehudi, who's the author of the position in the Gemara in Yoma that believes that Dachui does have application? That's Rabbi Yehuda. It's not. Ba'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Nishpach Adam. If you spill the blood while you're doing the Matnot Dam of the Seir LaShem, Yamut HaMishtaleach, then the Seir LaZazel is put out to death. Meit HaMishtaleach, if the Mishtaleach dies, Yishafech Adam, you spill out the blood. So he believes there is Dichui over here. If you lose one of the two partners at this point, you're going to ruin the other partner. You have to bring totally new partners. In a case where he has the capacity to rectify it, Tanya, we have a brighter Tosefta in Psachim, which we've actually noted before here in Menachot. Kos midama tarovot. He used to take a cup full of all the blood that was on the floor in the Azara. Zarkos v'kachat k'neged ha'yisod. And do one sprinkling connected to the Yisod HaMizbeach, which is the Matnat Dam for a Korban HaPesach. And in essence, you bring a Korban HaPesach to make up for the fact that maybe some of the Dam that was collected spilled on the ground after it was captured in a kos, and it didn't end up in the Mizbeach. So to ensure all Dam ends up in the Mizbeach, we scoop up a cup worth of Dam from the floor, and we do it connected to Yisod. Now, what exactly is the Dichui over here? Balei Tosfot say, even though amongst that blood is not only Dama Nefesh, which is what's supposed to go on the Mizbeach, there's also Dama Tamtzit, which doesn't go on the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, despite the fact that all this Dama is mixed together, the distributor still tells you, take a cup full of Dama and sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. So we see that there is no Dichuyur because you have an ability to rectify it by putting a Matnat Dama at the end on, and therefore it doesn't become Dachuy. Even though The real reason behind Rabbi Yehuda's position is because he believes ein dam mevatel dam. Because he believes that one set of dam is not mevatel another set of dam. That means that each dam retains its independent status. And if you scoop it up, whatever is there is as if it's independent inside of that cup. And when you sprinkle it on his back, you accomplish whatever you needed to, and it's not patel to that dam. But that's a quote-unquote form of dichoy. Since it's a form of dichoy, you would have expected Rabbi Yehuda to say, you can't do this. The fact that he allows you to do it, you have to differentiate between this case and the case where he says, you're not allowed to do it by Yoma. And the answer the Gemara is giving is what Rav Ashi says here, it's biyado. By the case of the Sirim, it's not biyado. By the case of the Dam, it is biyado. He just has to bend down, pick a cup, and pick up the Dam. Now, truthfully, by the Sirim, it's also biyado. He can bring in a new animal. He can bring in a replacement. So why don't we consider that to be biyado? That the Rishonim note over here is not biyado because he's not certain that he'll find an animal to buy. It's not certain he'll find a match for this animal or a seir for this animal. It's something that depends on others and depends on the market availability of the object. And for that reason, it's not called biyado, that is the ability to rectify it. As opposed to over here with the coast, just taking a cup and scooping up the dam, that's totally within his control and something that he can do. It is biyado to fix. Though the Bayit Tosafot do say that if you bring a korban while the mizbeach is pagum, there was damage to the mizbeach, it is considered to be nidche. All those items, all those korbanot are considered to be nidche when you fix the mizbeach. So he says over here that you have to be mechalek between this and that case. Since he has the capacity to fix the mizbeach, that should be something that is not considered dachkoi. So what you have to say or suggest is something along the lines of what we're saying over here by the Seirim, even though technically it's viado, it's not something that he can do instantly. It's not something that he can take care of by himself. He has to do work over here. He has to get the materials. He has to be able to get everybody to agree that he's going to be the one who does the work. And that there's a number of other issues between him and the fixing of the mizbeach. So that's not considered to be biyado. As opposed to over here, where all he has to do is bend down, pick up a cup, that is biyado to do that. Or in our situation where he just has to collect the levona from the mincha and take it off, that's considered to be yado, and that's not dichoy. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan. Natan mashu shemen agabe kezayit mincha pasal. He put even the smallest, minute amount of shemen on a mincha that meets the minimum threshold of a kezayit, you're a poselet. My taima, lo yasim. It says about the shemen, do not place the shemen on the minchat koteh, and he uses the word sima. Sima koldo. Placing means any amount, even the smallest and minute amount. Aleha, on it, adika shi'ura. Aleha means on it. On it means the korban mincha that you're bringing, or something that would be deemed or considered the korban mincha that you're bringing, that means it must meet the minimum shiur of a kezayit. So that means that you have to have a kezayit worth of mincha, and then put any amount of shemen on it, and you'll be in violation of putting shemen onto the minchat choter, onto minchat chareva. You put a kezayit worth of levona onto a mincha, or any amount of a mincha, that is posel the mincha. My daima, because of the language again. Lo yitain, ktiv. It says lo yitain, as Rashi says over here, the netina inherently has a certain size or threshold of netina. As Rashi says, netina is bekezayit. Ktiv natan lakoein et hakodesh, by netina, ktiva achila. And all achila comes with a kezayit. So Rashi says the definition of netina is a kezayit. But on the other hand, aleha, which would also require a shiur, is ribuy achar ribuy. It's an inclusionary term on top of an inclusionary term. Vein ribuy achar ribuy, alalad dema'et. You kind of include two items, then that is mima'et, is read as, instead of being two positives, is read as a negative. So here, instead of being something that's inclusive, it's going to be something that is exclusive. Although this is not your classic case of ribuy achar ribuy, because over here, the inclusionary terms are not correlated with each other. One has to do with what you're putting on, and the other one has to do with upon which you are putting it. Nevertheless, the Rishonim tried to figure out or squeeze in how it is a ribuy achar ribuy by saying that you could have moved around some of the wording in the pasuk to have it be that one word would have incorporated both items. Therefore, they classified here as a riboy achar riboy. And so that's why, in the case of the levona, you need a full shiur because of the word netina, but it can be placed on any size mincha because of the fact that the mincha over here, even though it's learned from the word aleha, which would require a shiur, is a riboy achar riboy, which is the ma'at, to tell you that you don't need that size or threshold of a kezayit by the mincha. Any amount of mincha would suffice here to be in violation of the levona. Both the Balei Tosafot on the top of Samach Amud Aleph and the Shita Mekubetzet and Otet on Nun Tet Amud Bet ask the question as, how do you know that the Nitina is a Kazayit? Rashi brings an example from Tashlum of Truma, that Nitina in that case is associated with Achila, and therefore it is a Kazayit. But we have many other examples of Nitina in the Torah, including Nitina Truma, which is even Chita Achat Poteret Dekri, or Nitina Get, which is good Bekoshu. In those cases, the word nitina means a kosher. The Balei Tosafot don't answer the question, but the Shita Mekubetzet and Otet does make the contrast between nitina and sima. The fact that the Torah changed the language from sima to nitina is an indication that the nitina here has to be more significant than a kol duhu. And so then once you're already on that path of more significance, then you have to look for a paradigm that gives you that. And that is of the Kezayit, that's by the Tashlumei Truma, we have Nitina associated with Achila. Vigadam Reis, some phrase it this way. Amar Yitzchak Bar Yosef, by Rabbi Yochanan, Natan Mashu Shemen Al Gabe Kezayit Mincha. If you take a smaller, minute amount of Shemen and put it onto a Kezayit Mincha, Mau, what's the din? Me being on Sima Kenitina. Do we need Sima that is equivalent or synonymous with the word Nitina in the latter part of the Pasuk? So the Nitina tells us what the Sima was in the earlier part of the Pasuk, and requires a shiur. Rabbi Yochanan over here wants to compare sima to netina. Is that because, as Rashi says over here, the netina inherently has a certain size or threshold of netina? As Rashi says, netina is bekezayit, and that's what the comparison is. Others just to suggest that in netina, in contrast to sima, is a kezayit or has a higher threshold, and that's the nature of the question. Now that we know netina is greater because of the sima that's there, does it also reflect back on the sima to say that the sima should also be like the netina? Although, or maybe not. Maybe sima stands alone, netina stands alone, and sima would be any amount. And the reason that you might associate a threshold with the levona more than you did with the shemen is because the levona is something that's muktar al gabe mizbeach, and therefore it needs a threshold or a certain size of haktara, which we normally know is kezayit worth of haktara. And that might be why the levona is different than the shemen. Teku, we leave that as an unresolved issue. Natan shemen al shiarel. You put shemen on the residual. Tanabanan, lo sim aleha shemen, velo yitain aleha levona. So you probably have to take out the aleha shemen here and read it with the two verbs, which is lo yasim, velo yitain. There are two restrictions over here. One of sima, one of netina. Yachol b'shnei kohanim. You would think we're speaking about two kohanim over here. Tamalomar aleha bigufa shemincha katub midaber. Speaking about the mincha and not the number of kohanim. So Rashi says the habamina gor is that only when you have two kohanim will you be chayav for lo yasim and lo yitain. But if you had one kohen, Rashi says v'chad kohen lo mechayav lechad lav. Don't be chayav for one or the other, either for sima or for netina. You're not going to be chayav for both. Sima and netina. Even if he does both, you won't be chayav for both. That's what Rashi says the habamin of the Gemara is. Did you think it's being about two kohanim? Tamalomar aleha, the teacher begufashal mincha, hakadu midaber. Speaking about the mincha itself, the lobe kohen, and not the party that is doing this. Therefore, even if a single party does it, he's being chayav for both. Now, the Balei Tosafot don't like Rashi's explanation. And therefore, the Balei Tosafot, first of all, suggests that we're near the Faresh to marry Mishtei Menachot. Talking about two different Menachot, Hanasot Bishnei Kohanim, that are done with two different Kohanim, Da'achi Orcha Nemilta, because that's normally the way it would be done in the Mikdash, Mishom Barovam Hadrat Melech. The more people involved in the process, the more honor and distinguished the procession is before the king. That's why we'll involve more Kohanim in the process. And he brings proof in the fact that the wave offering is done with the Chazen Shok of the Shlamim, with the fats, requires three Kohanim to be involved with it because of Rovam Hadrach Melech. So Kol Shekei Mishtei Menachot. V'halki Kamar, this is what's meant by the Gemara here. Yochol Mishtei Menachot Davka K'tivei Shnei Lavin. Only when it's done with two different menachot are there two levin. Shebezod natan shemen, shebezod natan levona. In one of them he put on shemen, and the other mincha he put on levona. Ilu mincha achat, and a single mincha, kevin tkvar natan ala shemen, ariyev psula. Since you already put the shemen on, it's already pasul. You put on levona afterwards, can't make something that's pasul again. Below mechayev to a levona, and therefore you won't be chayav on levona. That's what Natan Aleha comes to teach you, that it's a reference to the Korban itself, the Mincha itself, to tell you you can be chayav for both Netilah and Sima on the same Mincha. That each one by itself is sufficient to make you chayav, and it's the equivalent of what we saw before, Mechametz, Achar Mechametz. If you make something Chametz, you can still be chayav or culpable if you further the process or make it Chametz again. And similarly over here, just because you made it Pasul with Shemen, doesn't mean that the levona that you put on it is also not restricted or make it more pasul. And so you're going to be chayav in that case for both violations, even though the first violation technically made it pasul. And the Rabbeinu Tam takes it one step further and says that here we're speaking about two kohanim that are dealing with two mikomot, two places on the mincha. That this one is putting the shemen, and this one is putting down the levona. And similarly, with a single Kohen who did it sequentially, he put the Shemen down in one place, he put the Levona down in another place, and we want to know if you're going to be Chayav in that case, because when you put the Shemen down, you already posel the Mincha, you put the Levona down afterwards, you're putting it on top of a Mincha Psula, and maybe there's no problem then. Once the Mincha Psula, to put Levona on a Mincha Tchuteh would not be problematic. So that means it has to be put on the mincha itself. But if you put shemen on top of levona, or levona on top of the shemen that's there, ein zeh begufa, that's not going to affect the korban. So the Rabbeinu Tam says the conclusion is just the opposite. That the aleha comes to teach you that if there's already shemen on there, you can't be chayav for levona. If there's already levona on there, you can't be chayav for shemen, even if you put them in different locations. Because aleha means on the mincha itself, gufa shel mincha, and not on top of something that's already on top of the mincha. And so it can only be pasul once. You take your pick. You want it to be shemen, you want it to be levona, but it can't be pasul for both of them. And that would mean that the Rabbeinu Tam is just the opposite of Balei Tosafot, who say that there is nitina achar nitina, whereas Rabbeinu Tam says there is no nitina achar nitina. And that would indicate that the Rabbeinu Tam is focused on the being pasul the mincha as the primary restriction over here. And that's why if you already pasul it once, being pasul it again is not relevant. Whereas for the Balei Tosafot, the actual placing of the object on the item is what is the problem. Therefore, even if you put it on, once something's on there, the action of placing it on is what's problematic over here. And therefore, even if you do a nitina after sima, or sima after nitina, you're going to be chayav on both of those items. Now, just to finish up the Gemara, Yofo, you would think, lo yitain kli agabe kli, you would think you're not supposed to put a kli full of shemen on top of a kli that it houses the mincha of the chatat and chat chuteh, and therefore, im natan pasal, if you put it on, it would be pasul. Tamalomar aleh, the gufa shel mincha, akatuv midaber. In the group of the mincha, and this for the remaining time would be the same explanation of gufa shel mincha that we had before. It makes it consistent, which again favors their explanation of the remaining time that you have to get it onto the gufa mincha to be pasul, not when it's sitting on top of a kli. That is on top of the mincha, because that's not in the gufa shel mincha. And therefore, putting a kli full of oil on top of a mincha is not going to be posel the mincha. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on Samach Amud Aleph.